Well, we're getting ready to get started to for another fantastic interview. We've got Kay Newton. She's from Spain, Brains. She is coming in. And let me tell you where she lives. I'm just so jealous. It's just beautiful. I thought I was living in paradise here in San Diego, California. Nothing in comparison to where she's living. So, Brains, help me welcome our guest, Kay Newton. Let me tell you a little bit about her and what we're going to be discussing in this fantastic, I say fantastic, yes, fantastic interview today. You know, Kay is a very accomplished speaker and author. She's working with women that are in midlife. You know, they're at that particular age where they think they lost their mojo. What is it about a mojo and how do women lose it? I don't understand it. Are they not feeling sexy? Are they not feeling worthy? Are they doing a lot of negative self-talk, self-sabotage? Are they submerged in their family so much that they can't see the day of light? Well, you know, Kay has dedicated her life to working with women to help them regroup and recoup their life. And also, she's living in Spain, so she's got that Mediterranean diet and lifestyle. Brains, help me welcome her to the edge. Kay Newton, hi, baby. How are you?
Buenas tardes, or buenos dias, depending on where you are in the world. Yes, and as you can tell, I am not Spanish. I have an English accent. So
you are world.
I've been here in Spain 35 years. So.
Wow. What got you to move to Spain?
Okay, this is going to be an interesting little story. In my 20s, I was working in retail and I had an awful boss who used to bully me. And my parents had a very small boat in the local marina. And I used to go and hide on the boat to eat my lunch sandwiches. And one day this big boat, this mega yacht came into the marina. Well, it was 21 meters, not really big for standards down here, but big for the marina there in the north of England. And I jumped on board and I sailed to Mallorca. Took me 3 weeks and lots of stories. I could write a book and that could definitely be a completely different interview, April, but we won't go there. I arrived in Mallorca on, I think it was a Friday, the 13th of June 1980 something. And I've never swam back. How's that?
Wow. What did your parents say?
I think my parents were really quite worried. I found out later, after the whole event, that my father had taken the owner of the boat and the skipper, the captain, to one side and said, "Don't you dare mess with my daughter." But I didn't know anything about that at the time.
Oh, wow. Did you have a fancy for one of the shipmates or one of the crew?
No, nothing like that at all. And again, the story just will go on and on. We could spend a lot of time on that. And well, definitely big stories.
I want you to write a book about that. Definitely.
I will do one day.
That is going to be very exciting. So tell us a little bit about your experience after you found refuge there in Spain.
Yeah, so I met my husband here. My husband's from South Africa. And both of us decided that neither of us wanted to live in the appropriate countries. So we ended up living in Mallorca, and we've been here, as I say, I've been here 35 years. We've been married 27. We have two boys who have both grown and flown the nest. And so we're enjoying time together again on our own, which is really, really amazing.
Did you live in South Africa at all with your husband?
No, but I visited a lot. He's still got family down there. So we've been down to Cape Town particularly quite a lot of times. I love it down there, but it's not a place for us to live at the minute. So, you know, we've got the same feel here in the Mediterranean, which is fabulous. So really, really lucky.
Yeah, I know. Well, America's not the greatest tourist spot right now either, because there's so much going on here, so much trick and bamboozlery. So how did you get involved in a woman's mojo and trying to get women to get their swag back? Where did that come from?
It was interesting how you talked at the beginning and you named sort of everything that could possibly happen to women at our age. And that's what's great about a mojo, because basically it describes everything. It can be anything that you've hit in your midlife, your empty nest syndrome, problems with relationships, maybe you've divorced, Maybe you're sandwiched between your parents and your kids. Maybe you've got boomerang kids. You know, the whole lot that happens to us. Mojo really just describes what happens to us in that effect. Now we lose our confidence, and it's getting back that confidence. That's the key, really, to the midlife mojo. And I started working with it really when my kids were around, I think my oldest one was about 9 years old, and I made the realization that he was going to go and leave home at some point, and I needed something else to do in my life. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting involved in coaching, and I've been a personal development coach for the past 15 years.
Personal development coach. So let me ask you a question, because we talk about everything here on the Edge. You know, you got white women, you got black women, you got Asian women, and everybody's mojo is different. Cultural experience, mm-hmm. life experience, financial, you know, all of those things. What are some basic things overall on all spectrums? Because I'm sure that you've had, you know, a very flavored, very colorful cast of, you know, guests and clients over the past, would you say 25 years? That you've been
last 15 years I've been coaching. Yeah.
What is the commonality that you find among all women?
Yeah, I think one of the commonalities, I use the analogy of the table of life. And I think that's a really good analogy, because what it does is, if you think about the table, if you've got a very strong, old fashioned, sturdy table with four legs, and this is you, mm-hmm. then you can put anything you want to on top of the table. And so the four legs are having your really good connections, being connected to the right people who are going to help you, especially if you're in dire need of help.
Right.
Your knowledge. This time in our life, we have such an amazing skill set, but quite often we don't realize. So being able to put your skill set to use, whether it's for charity or it's a new business or whatever it may be.
Right.
So taking time to know what you're missing and what you've got. Another leg would be your financial flow. So mm-hmm. making sure that your money's coming in and your money's going out, and that you're using it as you want to use it.
Right.
And your health is number one on that list. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have good health, you can't do anything.
Right.
So making sure you do some simple things for health. And then you at the tabletop, your mindset, you as an individual, knowing who you are, knowing thyself, becomes really, really important.
Well, so many people get lost in all of that. When you say know the right people, a lot of times people think that they connect with people on social media, and these are truly their friends. What are some characteristics in finding the right person?
Yeah, it's a two-way flow, isn't it?
Yes.
So when you connect to someone, like I connected to you, April, you can't do it with the social media process of thumbs up or love hearts, or, you know, you've got to make a big effort, just like you do when you're connecting to somebody in real life. You need to find out a little bit about them. You need to find out, you know, in detail, so that you can find out if you've got a connection. And then you can slowly grow that connection. It's not something that happens straight away. She's got a Hello Brain sign in her hand.
Oh, yeah, and I have my questions, because I've got some questions for you for sure. So, you know,
I've got mine behind me, look.
Thank you so much. We love you. Look at that. We're in Spain, brains. I told you, we are all over the planet. Finding the right person, again, like I said, it is work. You know, there's a certain level of trust, understanding, communication, responsibility, reciprocation, all of that. So now knowledge and skill set. People underestimate themselves. They really they don't think, oh, I'm not creative, or no, I don't want to live my dream. Well, let me just go and find a job, or, you know, finding a job is fine. But in that job, are you, you know, learning different tasks? Are you sharing your information with others? Are you continuously honing in on your skills? All those type of things. Give us a couple suggestions when, you know, finding the knowledge and your skill set.
So for example, maybe you've had a hobby, and we're going to use flower arranging as an example. So maybe you've been doing flower arranging Benjamin, and you decide that now you've got to midlife, you're going to start your own business, and you're going to start it as a florist, which is great because you've got the skill set in that, you've got the creativity, you know how to put flowers together. And then it's asking yourself the next questions to do with your knowledge. Do you know about running a business? Do you know what's going to be involved in that? And is it something you want to learn, or is it something you want to find a partner who can do that with you? The frightening thing is when you get to our age, a lot of people think it'd be great to go off and do something else and make it into a business. And then they plow in all their well-earned pension fund and then end up in 5 years' time with nothing. So making the effort to really do an audit of your knowledge, of your skill set before you start anything, even if it's going to work for a charity, if you work out which charity would suit you better by knowing what skill sets you've got, you're going to have a happier time, and you're going to be much more used to society in that way. So auditing skill set is a really important thing. And your skills can be something that you've not thought about. For example, if you've organised a house, you've been a really good organiser. You've also probably been a taxi driver. You've probably been a first aid person, a good cook, you know, menu planning. It goes on and on. So if you haven't got all those thoughts, you know, it's not the qualification, it's not the piece of paper, it's all the other skills that you've got that count.
Right. And people don't list those. So again, right, get a pencil and a piece of paper and slap everything against the wall. You know, yeah. This, I've done this, I want to do this. This brings me joy. Because there's a lot of people out there tossing that word around, entrepreneur, and you mess around and be entrepreneur.
Like you
get pension money and do it in there. Let's talk about finance. Okay. And I need everybody in the world to pay attention to this. World currency is going to have to change. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into, you know, cryptocurrency and all that, but it's going to have to change. The European Union is unstable. After we figure out what we're going to do with 45, the U.S. economy is going to tank. You need to get your financial house in order now. Look at bills. Don't be afraid of them. If you look at them, you can attack them. Start paying them off. Reduce your credit card spending. Tuck a little bit of money away. Look at your investments and see if you are diversified. Would you agree with that, Kay?
I think that's so, so important. And so many people don't even take those, what I would call, basic steps. You can't do anything until you've got that really nice, solid foundation and literally covering all those bases that you've just said. We know that life's going to be change, and the only constant we've got in the universe is change.
Right.
So it's not something to be fearful of. It's something to be aware of and to start making, you know, plans about what you want to do. And you can do that. It just needs you to set a little bit of time to one side to allow you to do the thinking.
And you don't have to be afraid of it. I mean, you know, money is fluid. Believe me, it will come back. But you have to be a good steward of it. It's like my mother. When she counts her money, she makes sure that all of her bills are not crinkled, that all of the president's heads are standing in order. But her philosophy has worked for her for almost 90 years. If you're good to your money, it will be good to you. Let's talk about this big $25 word, mindset. Everybody's tossing that around. How do you set your mind to get it right?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I've just been writing a piece for an article that I've been asked to write. And in that, I've just put in there this amazing, you know, the same thing, really, that we are so good at organising our holidays, our annual leave. You know, we know where we're going, we get our tickets, we pack our suitcases. Mm-hmm. We do the same maybe with our wardrobe. You know, we have an annual spring clean out, and we take out our clothes and we organize them, throw out the old, and, you know, make space for new. What we don't do is we don't do the same with this, because you can't physically take the brain out and put it on a shelf and look at it or give it a dust off or take that bit out. It's right in here. And there is a way, though, you can look at what's happening, and that's to just stop in the middle of, literally in the middle of the day, like now, and go, okay, what am I thinking? You know, are my thoughts nice and clear and positive and happy, or are they maybe a little bit shady and a little bit negative?
You say shady. I love it.
If that's the case, you know, do I want to change it?
Right.
You know, it's my choice. And by just taking that little bit of time to go, okay, what's going on now? Oh, I'm thinking, oh dear, we're going down that bad path again.
Right.
Let's just bring myself back and let's, you know, do a happy dance or whatever it may be. And then you change those habits. Your brain works phenomenally. We just don't use it very well. So we can definitely help ourselves by just taking a little bit of time out and just, you know, literally going, what am I thinking?
Right. Tune in. It's that neuro-linguistic programming. It's that self-love. You know, we can talk up some drama. Oh, this is not going to work. Oh my God, this is getting on my nerves, or he's making me mad. You can hear all of that, but why can't you say some positive things to yourself? You know, like, I love myself, or I like myself in this lipstick, or let me take myself out to lunch. I deserve it. Or let me, you know, have a conversation with a friend. Let me journal some things. Let me write down 5 positive things that I see about myself. Let me go a day without judgment. And without saying something negative about someone else. Again, there is a, you know, there's a key for the lock in your brain. Yeah. You just have to turn it. You've turned it in so many ways. You are an accomplished author. Tell us a little bit about your books.
Yes, I have 3 books out at the minute. One is on decluttering.
Do you have them with you? Are they there at your desk?
I have, actually. Do you want me to dash and go and get them? Dash and go and get them, and then I can show you the covers. Two seconds.
All right. So while she's dashing and doing that, brains, this is just so important that we have this basic conversation with ourselves, that we learn to love ourselves. Be it men, you know, we do a lot of these shows on women. That concerns me because women aren't always the ones that need the work. We need to integrate our relationships with our children, with the elderly, with the disabled, with the abled, with, you know, people that have different cultures and different beliefs. That is what makes us grow and makes us a beautiful person. So now that she's back, tell us a little bit and show us the covers of your fantastic
book. So I have one on downsizing, which is something that we've done recently. In fact, 5 years ago, my husband got offered a job in Zanzibar in Tanzania. And so we decided to get rid of our 6-bedroomed, 5-bathroomed house with pool and move to a small 2-bedroomed house by the beach. Perfect. An excuse to do it was so that we could never have an empty nest, as in there is no place for my kids to come back to now.
We've grown and you've grown.
Very naughty. They've grown and flown and they're on their own. And the other one is The Art of Midlife Stress Busting. So it's 7 steps for decluttering your mind.
Wow.
This is quite a useful little book. They're all very, very thin books. And the reason being that you can literally get yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, read them, and then go and do the activities. There's no point in sitting and just reading. So it's about going out and doing it. And then this book is How to Clean Organically. I used to have a cleaning company many years ago, and I actually I've got asthma now because of using cleaning products.
Wow.
And so now I have vinegar, lemon juice, and bicarbonate of soda, just about, and some essential oils, nothing else in the home.
Girl, that's exactly what I use. I love baking soda. I will put lemons in everything, a little bit of white vinegar, absolutely, because all of these carcinogenics that are in all sprays, and you go to spray it, you know, it was like, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I sprayed some cleaner, some mold in the bathroom, and it was just, it was crazy. So that is really great. In addition to that, you live in Spain. You've got the Mediterranean diet. Tell us a little bit about the food. Oh, I can't wait to come there. I love to
travel. We can't wait to have you. I can't wait for a hug.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be.
So today was just typical day. We had a nice smoothie in the morning, and then we've had a fish, which is called, I think in English it's called a dolphin fish. In Spanish it's known as lambuga. And at the minute it's in season, so it's quite a meaty fish. So we had that grilled on the barbecue with some nice green salad. And what else did we have? Oh, some nice new potatoes. And tonight we're having hummus and nice green peppers and things like that. So yeah, very healthy diet here.
Do you grow things? Do you have a garden?
No garden now. We've got rid of the garden. But we're thinking about putting planters in and probably a hanging in along a wall type system. But we haven't got there yet. We've only been in the house since February, so we're still getting used to living here.
Let me ask you how you grocery shop, because I love that. I've gotten into that now. You know, here in the United States, we go to these big box stores and we just get enough food that you think is going to last us a month and a half. But I've gotten some cute little baskets and I go over to the Asian store and get my fresh fish. And I go to the Mexican grocery store and get my produce. And then I'll get some canned goods. But now I'm finding myself shopping and my food is more fresh every 3 or 4 days. Yeah. Is that kind of the lifestyle there? You know, the Mediterranean lifestyle that you go to the market?
Yeah, we shop once a week, and if we can, we use the local. We have a little mini market comes, you know, we have a little market set up on a Saturday in the square, in the village square. And so we have a fruit stall, fruit and veg stall, a cheese stall, and what else do we have? We have jewellery, but just a very small market. So we tend to buy our stuff there. And then the dried goods we get once a month, we do a monthly shop just like you.
Wow, that is absolutely fantastic. So you've done all these wonderful things. You live in a beautiful place. But tell me, who pours into you? How do you stay on the cutting edge of knowledge and information that you are able to pour into your clients? Is there certain books that you read? Is there certain practices or modalities that you incorporate in your life? Can you share that?
Yeah, I think it's a mix. So at the minute, I've got an accountability partner who lives in Panama, would you believe?
Yeah.
So we talk to each other once a week, and we're both in the same arena. So it's really nice to listen to someone and share, you know, our mutual knowledge with each other. So she, shout out to Lynn if she watches. So Lynn keeps me on track, which is really fabulous. I'm also in a business group, which is UK-based, called the Brand Builders. They keep me also on track, which is great. And then my clients themselves, you know, I call it the light bulb and goose pimple moments. Mm-hmm. So they, I tend to get sort of like my skin goes sort of goose pimply just before their light bulb goes off.
Wow.
And then they look 10, 15, nearly 20 years younger. You can see the pains lifted, you know, they've hit that nail. And that's just very, very special. It just really energizes you and keeps me going, literally.
Now, you said you have, what, 2 adult children? 2 boys?
2 boys.
Do they believe, and your husband, do they believe and follow the philosophy that you teach? Sometimes, you know, it's easier for people to pick up information from a third party. It's like, okay, I only do this. It's like podcasting. My daughter, well, maybe you ought to do this in your interview, or you might want to do that in the interview. It's like, okay, you don't want to take my advice. You'll listen to a third party. Do they listen to your advice?
And my oldest one's pretty good. He does. He followed in his mum's footsteps. He's a super yacht chef. So he's in the Mediterranean at the minute and heading over to the Caribbean very shortly. So yeah, we have really nice conversations, and he thinks about my philosophy. My youngest son's followed his dad and become an engineer, and he's very, very, very not into this at all. So no, we don't have those conversations.
Well, that is absolutely wonderful. Kay, you have just been a breath of fresh air, and I just enjoy talking to you so much. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want to do a deep dive, they want to go in and they want to check out their mojo, they want to kick it up. They want to spice it up. They want to think about, you know, how to incorporate the right people, update their skill set, look at their finances, change that mindset. How do they get in contact with
you? Come and explore your life table with me. And you can find me on knewton.com very easily. And if not, come and search for me on Facebook. Just type in Kay Newton, send me a message, and I'll definitely answer you straight back. And I'd love to talk to you. I offer you a 30-minute free session if you want to have a mini deep dive, and we can talk about what's going on with your mojo.
Well, brains, thank you. And for tuning in and getting turned up over and over again here on The Edge with April Mahoney. We are building that YouTube channel like you would not believe. Oh my God, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, we are on Spotify. We're all over the planet. We're gonna even have an audio version of this so that we can disseminate it around the world, because we got 44,000 in 38 countries, and one of those countries is Spain. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge with me, Kay. Please come back and tell us the original story. I want to hear this adventure that you had on this boat, okay? That I want to be a 300-page book, because I'm sure it's full of texture and adventure. Thank you again for being here on The Edge with us.
Thank you for having me, April, and adios, todos.
I'll see you soon. I'll be there in March.
Can't wait. Can't wait for a hug.
All right. Bye, brains.